Thank you, ladies. Good morning to one and all. Our God is a great God and greatly to be praised. I trust today you've come into this place of worship and gathering, ready to give him the praise and glory. Again, I hope you've taken inventory today of how good God is to us. He's seen many of us through this week. It maybe was a struggle in certain situations, maybe with health, maybe other things. But I'll tell you what, folks, he loves us dearly. He loves us, and he shows us his love through his son, Jesus, who came and died for our sins. So let's give him the glory today, and let's understand how good he is to us. Let's stand, if you're able, 624 in our hymnal. It's not on the screen today, but let's take some time today to count our blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? You are called to bear. Count your blessings, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, his wealth untold, count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Thank you. Let's remain standing for our invocation. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today on a beautiful morning. Lord, we look forward to the day when we'll awake some grand morning, when we'll be in the presence of you, Lord, for all eternity. Lord, thank you that your book is filled with precious promises and, Lord, blessings for the life of the believer that are innumerable. Lord, we could not sit down today with pen and paper and with our feeble human abilities and list all those blessings that you've given us. We could never come to the end of the goodness of God. So we thank you today for that, Lord. We thank you for the ability that we have today to even come out and worship you publicly, and for the freedoms that we have today, Lord. None of us had to fight today against maybe physical restrictions from gathering for worship, but we probably have had to fight with the evil one, your adversary. But we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who gives us victory, and we thank you for all that have come through the doors this morning. Lord, we are blessed, and we acknowledge it comes from your good hand. Now, Lord, I do pray for this flock today. Again, Lord, for the preaching of the word, I pray that you give me strength, and, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would have free range today as he works in the hearts of the people. We remember our community today, Lord, our friends and neighbors, our families. Lord, there is so much neediness in this world for you. Thank you, Lord, though, that you're the sufficient Savior. You have the answers to all of our needs. Now, Lord, I just ask that you'd bless our time together today. Give us your presence, Lord, and the enthusiasm. And also, Lord, the admonition here as we understand that we need to be on guard in these days that we live. And these are very dangerous times. I pray you'll strengthen the church and you'll strengthen your people today. And Lord, for situations maybe in homes today, maybe even in marriages, all types of relationships, Lord, may you be the one that will heal those things today. And so we commit this time to you for your opportunities here, Lord, and your pleasure. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated this morning. Well, I hate to have you sit down because we're going to sing a song that we really ought to be standing for, if you're able. So if you elect to stand, that's fine, but it's Standing on the Promises, number 598. 598. If you're able and are led to, it'd be good to stand. But if you're not able, that's okay too. But we know one thing, that we can count on God's promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. blessings that cannot fail. Fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail. Promises of God. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of God. My Savior. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Stanza four.
Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God.
And with that, you may be seated. Excuse me. Again, welcome to one and all. We're grateful for everyone that's come through the doors. We're especially glad if there'd be a visitor here today. Always, please make yourselves at home here. We are a friendly, loving group of people. And I miss the days, and I wonder what's going to happen here in the near future with the COVID reinforcing itself. But and I believe this is a thing that's coming, but I miss a year and a half, 2 years ago when we used to have these little times in the morning services or evening services where we all got up and tried to meet someone we didn't know and said hello to everyone. Maybe we can do that again sometime. I want to let you know that I will be wearing a mask at the door today as I greet you, and you need to observe as well what is going on around you. If you're led to wear one of those, then do it, and to practice other precautions. But these things are prevalent there today, and you must deal with it one way or another, and all the way, though, trusting God, right? Anyway, this morning, as we go on here, just a few things. We do not have anything on PowerPoint today, but take a look at the right-hand side of your bulletin. And realize this, in order, today there is a meeting for the men's retreat, the Gearheads and the Gospel at 4:30 out in Fellowship Hall. And then we have our regular evening service, 6 o'clock, and this is a message for cooks or people that are interested in recipes, which I think we all should be, for the rewards from God. And so that's found in Colossians 3, the ingredients of the recipe of rewards from God. Reminder about Vacation Bible School, that will be taking place, Lord willing, next week. You see there the times and so forth. And if you're involved in that as a worker, other than food service, background checks are due by next Sunday. And Lisa and I will take a look at those next Sunday. So if we don't have that, that would exclude you from being able to operate in that program. August 6th, 7th, and 8th. From 6 to 8 p.m. in the evenings to decorate classrooms. I think Lisa here is the one that has all the details about those things and about Vacation Bible School. Are there any other meetings or anything, Lisa, that we're going to talk about before? Okay. Good. And where would those be? They're out in the foyer?
Yes, they're out in the foyer.
Okay. At the very least, call on your neighbors, your families, and encourage young people to come to Bible school. But above and beyond that, be in prayer that this would be used of God. And this is an opportunity, once again, to introduce young people to Jesus Christ. They may not get saved and things at this, but a lot of young kids today don't know a thing about the Bible. They don't know who God is. They don't know Jesus. And so these are very important times that we can have at least to get a foothold to introduce young people to Jesus Christ. No Jesus Club for August. Women's Bible study, you see the dates and times there. Men's Bible study, same thing. Pastor's thought for the week. We are approaching what I call high summer. The growing season is producing maturity, in case you haven't noticed. So I ask us, what season are you and I in our lives today in our walk with the Lord Jesus? Are there any other announcements we need to make this morning? Yes, Autumn. Kim mentioned to me this morning that she had something to announce about that. She has been called out this morning with her mom, in case you wondered where she is. She's being taken to the hospital, and so she's had a lot of things on her plate here lately. Jane?
Tell Kim she's in my prayers and thoughts until I'm thinking.
Okay, I appreciate that.
And thanks,
yeah, we'll get back to you with further thoughts on that, okay, with the luncheon and so forth. But thank you for your prayers. We need them. All right, with that said then, we're going to take a moment here to quiet our hearts before the Lord. Again, if you today have been led through the Word and the Holy Spirit and the prosperity of God in your life, to give back to Him cheerfully a portion of what He's already given to us in His abundance. Again, we sang Count Your Blessings to start. There is an opportunity on the back table to do that. And so we're going to ask at this time for God's blessing on both the gift and the giver, but also to take a short time of meditation before we go into the Word this morning and maybe conclude revisiting Sodom and Gomorrah, but some of the details around that and how they are applicable to our lives yet today. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, thanks once again for the bounteous goodness that you give us, the abundance of your grace and of your mercy. Lord, I pray today that we would never take that for granted. I think quite often, Lord, as I'm out harvesting the vegetables, of the conditions that we find ourselves in here in America, how people are so unthankful. They're wasteful. I go to a restaurant, Lord, forgive us, and I see people throw away tons of food. I see people pick through vegetables, Lord, and maybe see a little blemish and say, well, I don't really want that. And yet, Lord, in America, for a long time, no one has really gone hungry, except for one thing, Lord. They're not hungry for you and for your word, and they're not thirsty for the living water. So, Lord, I come to you as not only for myself, but for our nation, Lord, how sadly misgiven we are about you and how you've been taken for granted. But Lord, you still put up with us as of yet to this day, and I thank you for that grace and mercy. And yet, Lord, even as we in many cases slander you and treat you badly, you're still giving good things to us. So I thank you today, Lord, for the ability to give back to you, but also for the scriptural mandate, Lord, that keeps us aware that it comes from you and that you do deserve a portion of that in return for our acknowledgement of your love for us. So, Lord, bless the gift and giver, I pray today. And also, Lord, quiet our hearts now as we prepare to go into your word. I need strengthening today, Lord. I pray that you would help me. And Father, we know that it's not just Kim's mom, but there are many other people today that are struggling with the forces of the sin curse. And I pray, Lord, again, that you will show your benevolence once again, in all these cases, and Lord, that what you see here that takes place in the hearts of the people of Fruitland might be something that is pleasing to you. So now I ask these things, Lord, as we focus on you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies. That's what the Word says, isn't it? With God, all things are possible. Well, I believe we have a special this morning by Doug and Kay.
Cleanse me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that reminder today because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Yeah. You know, if we're concerned about people, we ought to be first concerned about ourselves in this respect, that we need to go to the Lord ourselves in contrition and confession and search our hearts before Him to be brought back into it's called repentance and confession. To be brought back into a vibrant relationship with Him. I believe that today that maybe a lot of people are saying, well, I'm waiting for someone else to start the revival. But as the stanza in that song says, the revival's got to start with us. Yeah. Quit waiting on other people, folks, because you're going to be disappointed in others. But you can have revival with the Lord yourself. And you may stand here today and say, well, I'm one of the finest Christians ever. I've got it all figured out. Well, let me tell you, it can be better. It can always be better. By the way, I'm a little intimidated up here this morning. It's like maybe I'm somewhat important with all these microphones. You know, I'm thinking about this guy, you know, about 50 years ago in the White House, my fellow Americans. You know, usually when it was someone important, the more microphones. But anyway, that's intimidating for me to have all these things here in front of me. But anyway, I'm excited about the word of the Lord and realizing that we are in desperate need today of revival. And I think God has been very gracious to us, as I've tried to mention in these messages, but This morning we have to also face reality, and I am not a negative person at all on God. I'm not negative on the outcome of things for the believer, but I want to tell you today, if you're apart from Jesus Christ, the outcome's not going to be good. And we need to let that be known. And it's not that God desires that, which we'll see in our text today, but people desire it. They desire things apart from God, and they are not going to end in a good way. So this is the fourth part of this message about how low can it go. It's based on Sodom and Gomorrah. This is not a message that is just talking about homosexuality. There are many other sins. But it's really, you could, as I mentioned last week, we could find many emphases in this message. Warnings, we can find messages about backslidden believers like Lot and how things turn out. And so there's something in this for all of us in the day that we live. And for all time, that's been the case. God's word will bring us around to correct thinking. And my friends, his adversary, Satan, wants us to be operating with delusional thinking, thinking that's just a little off of what God would have us to believe. So I'm going to always stand on the truth of the Word of God. I believe it is objective truth. It claims to be, and I've never found the Word of God to be an error in any way, shape, or form. I'll challenge you to try to disprove it as well. You won't be able to. Let me tell you, there's sharper people than any of us in this room that have tried to disprove the Word of God. And they've never gotten it accomplished yet. They never will, because his word will stand forever. It's forever settled in heaven. But anyway, today, if I don't stop talking, we'll never get going. Oh, I guess I do have to do a little talking up here, don't I? But we're going to try to cover the last two points of this message. I believe it's chock full of rich things, again, here from the word. But before we go any further today, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, all I can say today is, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. I've already confessed that to you many times this morning. Lord, it seems like our lives in many cases, even though we try very hard, are somewhat of a chaotic event. And from day to day, Lord, there are things that disrupt our true and sweet fellowship with you. So I pray today, Lord, that you'd bind the forces of Satan today. And Lord, that you would unencumber my lips and my heart today to preach this word for you. Lord, I don't know what's going on in everyone's lives, but I do know this, Lord, that I see the church and God's people becoming much less proactive and engaged in your program. But I thank you that there are still some faithful ones that will come out and that are still going to stand for you, and Lord, that they realize what your word says. Now, Lord, we understand all of us in this room are far from perfect, and we're all sinners. I pray all of us are saved by grace in here today, but Lord, if there be that possibility that someone is unsaved, that they've never been delivered, that's what that word saved means, delivered from not only the current day forces that dominate in their lives of sin and evil, but have been delivered unto the salvation, Lord, of being freed from the penalty of those sins through your blood and work on Calvary's cross. I pray today would be the day that people would acknowledge their sinfulness and acknowledge you as the Savior and be born again, Lord, washed by the cleansing of the living water. So, Lord, many things today, but we pray for our conditions around us today. But my biggest prayer today, Lord, is you'll strengthen the believers, that you'll strengthen the churches for the days that are ahead. And, Father, that you'll preserve the Bible-teaching, believing churches in a miraculous way. Now, Lord, as you know, today I'm not as sharp as I could be, and so, Lord, this message is not dependent on my deliverance, but it's dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray it'll accomplish that which you've intended it for today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, my friends, I want to take us into a situation that maybe some of you have dealt with. As most of you know, I've been in business most of my life, and how many of you have ever forgot to pay a bill or slipped up some way and didn't get a bill paid on time? Okay, you actually, I couldn't even believe that from you. I would think you'd be a month ahead on everything. Well, I saw several hands here this morning. Jeff?
We got lost in the mail.
Yeah, that's a good one. I've never used that excuse, but a lot of people have used it on me over the years. But one time I neglected to pay an insurance bill. And so about 5 days after that deadline passed, a letter came in the mail, and I will not lie to you. By the way, you need to know this. I don't open the mail here at Fruitland. That's the secretary's privilege. And there's checks and balances, so nothing ever comes here that, you know, is secretive or anything like that. So if you have private communications, someone else will see it if you send it through the mail before me. But in the case of Deb, she's, or the other secretaries we've had, they know that that's not something that they divulge. But at home, most of the time, I don't open the mail either. And I don't know why that is, but I guess it, you could actually say it's laziness. Or it's like I tell the mail person that delivers, it's actually Marlene Linder's daughter-in-law. I always tell her, throw the bills away, just be sure the checks get into our mail. You know, I don't want to see what's in the mail a lot of times. How about that with you? And Kim will report to me, and usually what I say to her every day is, well, Kim, good or bad in the mail today? And anyway, but I trust her. But anyway, this particular time, there was a letter. It came from White Pigeon Insurance in Wilton, and where I do my insurance business. But anyway, it said, your policy on your farm, it's called Farm Made. It's the policy that protects our buildings and property and so forth for all the different coverages. Has been canceled due to what? Lack of payment. And so I right away called them and went in there and I said, well, are you willing to reinstate my policy? Well, sure. If I what? If I pay. Yeah, and that's only legitimate. But I did mention to them that day, I said, you know, how many thousands of dollars over the years do you think I've paid into your organization? And let me tell you, if you could figure it up, it was a lot of money. But I said, don't forget, I have paid in a lot. I need a little what? Grace, because I slipped up. And I do that. But the point, we've been hearing about that in these messages with Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that God's grace is large. His mercy is large toward people. He's long-suffering. He has forbearance towards us. But folks, you know something I learned about that when I had that policy happen that way. And now I usually am in there sometimes days ahead and give them the check so that I don't ever have to worry. And as I get older, you know, I slip up more and more. I make sure that things are dealt with on time. But folks, it's the same thing with God. There's a note in our policy that says, if you don't pay your premium, your insurance will be canceled. And by the way, most insurance policies do have a grace period. But some do not, so you want to be careful about that. Life insurance policies typically have a grace period. But other policies that have hard dates on them do not. And if you don't pay, it's likely going to be canceled. But think about that a little bit this morning with God. How many times have you tread on God's grace? I'm telling you, I have a lot. God's good to us. And to believers, he's not going to let us go. But yet, when we think about the world around us today, do you think they even think about these things that we've been talking about? But I know this, folks, as time marches on, God's grace and mercy, while they are unfathomably deep, there is an end to that for those that reject Jesus. And folks, that's a serious thing because all of us know that we're one heartbeat or one breath away from eternity. The Bible teaches no second chances after death, but the Bible teaches for most innumerable chances while we yet have life. Today is another opportunity that Jesus says, come to me. So today we're going to start out with some warnings. This is point two if you've been outlining this. And these are God's warnings to us about coming judgment. Folks, there is a judgment coming again on this world. Now realize for the believer, we will not be at the great white throne judgment. We will not be judged whether or not we go into heaven or into hell, because we've already been given our ticket into heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, amen, and we ought to be excited about that. But that doesn't mean we aren't careful how we handle ourselves, because we also have to appear as Christians, as believers, at what's known as the judgment seat of Christ, where we're going to be evaluated for our works. Not to get into heaven, but for rewards. And that has something to tie in with our message tonight. Because there's a song, Must I Go In Empty-Handed, in an old hymn. And that really has to do with, are you and I going to enter into heaven with few souls that we ever reached out to and won for Jesus Christ? That's a scary thought. You know, I've thought about that a lot, but what about going into eternity, we're going to get the past, but think about that. Jesus is going to look at us with his eyes, and he's going to say, there were a lot. I really believe it's the Bema, the reviewing stand. I believe there will be a review of our life. You know, there's going to be that day that we could have done something different, and we haven't. You know, but we still have time to see it set straight. Lord, help me. That's what I'm asking today. I'm sure you're thinking the same kind of thing. But folks, there is a judgment coming on this earth, and it is a judgment of finality. God destroyed the earth the first time through water, through the flood. Second time, it'll be by fire. We'll see that in our text today. We need to get down the line. But these are warnings of God's coming judgment once again. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 9 to start this morning. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 9. And I suppose you're getting tired of this theme, but if I wouldn't get done today, would anyone get mad?
No.
Well, if you do, you'll have to get glad. But we'll finish it one way or another. But this is rich stuff, at least to me. And by the way, Lonnie asked this morning, what moves you? Was it a song or something like, wasn't that what you said, Lonnie? What brings you to tears? I'll tell you what brings me to tears are the scriptures. And there are some sections today that I'm getting more feeble that way where I'm touched by things. So put up with me a little longer, okay? But anyway, here's the problem, folks, and I'm going to tell it like it is, because this is where we're at today. There's a lot of false teaching going on out here. We've been Lisa had some good questions the other night at midweek Bible study, and I'm very cool with that. We'll talk about those kind of things. But folks, we are living in a virtual minefield of deception. And like I've always told you here at Fruitland, don't be deceived even here. You check. You're responsible. God's not going to say, well, it's Pastor John's fault that this happened. Well, he might, but ultimately, it's our own fault if we don't take heed to what God says. Romans chapter 1 says we are without excuse. Now, we know that we live in a day where everyone likes to blame someone for things. But let's get it on the line today. We're responsible. But to the best of my ability, Lord, help me, I want to teach the truths of the Word of God. But let me tell you, folks, there is deception like you wouldn't believe. And Peter writes about this. He's writing about the days we're living in, folks. The days that are drawing towards the end of the program. And here's what he writes. But there were false prophets also among the people. He's talking backwards here to the saved there, the Israelites that were saved. He says, it's been the case in the past. By the way, Lonnie, you taught about this morning out of 1 Kings. False stuff going on all the time. You've got to have a discerning ear that's grounded in the Word of God, folks, or you will believe all kinds of things. And notice what Peter says next. He says, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, again, that word damnable there means judgment-producing destructive lies. Judgment-producing destructive lies. Now, I could illustrate for the rest of our time this morning all the stuff that's being taught out there in so-called Christian churches, so-called biblical churches, and a lot of stuff that has not anything that's grounded in the Word of God that's false. But you better know what you're talking about here, because there is deception in this minefield at every turn of events. Peter says it's going to become more so that way. You know what? I can't tell you the people I've encountered in my time that say, I am so confused about many things. Now, I'm not going to preach on this morning, but let me just throw this one issue out. People are so confused about baptism. Mm-hmm. Now, I could preach the rest of the time on that, but I'm not going to. But folks, I listened to a program on the radio this morning. Much of what they presented was right on target, but a little bit of it was not. And therefore, that little bit says to me, I can't, whoops, I'm like Nixon here. I can't go along with your message today because it's only partially right. Therefore, I have to say that that group of people is a group that are deceiving others. Deceiving. And Peter's talking about that. Because let me tell you, baptism does not save you. And that's what a lot of these groups teach. They believe that it has something to do with that. But that's just one of the things. I could go to many. And notice here in verse 2, Peter says, "And a few will follow their pernicious ways." Many, it says. Well, that's evident today. They will follow, and it always has been. They'll follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious meanings destructive ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know what, folks? And you know it yourself today. The people that are being spoken evil of most today are Bible-believing Christians. And for many times throughout the world's history, at least in the years since Christ, but also God's people prior to Christ, usually the ones that spoke the truth were branded as what?
Crazy,
haters, so on and so forth, just like it is now. It's the same thing that still goes on, and they're going to be spoken evilly of. And let me tell you something, folks, we are in a war, and there are people out there today that would not want to hear Bible preaching and teaching, and they will be opposed to us because they're agents of God's adversary, the devil. Verse 3, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words or deceptive words make merchandise of you." By the way, have you ever been merchandised? What's it mean to be merchandised? Played. Used. Okay? Yeah. That's what happens to people today. I believe this with all my heart too. There's a lot of churches that are political. And there are churches that have to do that. If you want to be in power in a certain community, then you'll go to certain churches. I won't name any, but there's one about 12 miles north of here. But you already know. And, you know, a church that is a church that's going to stand for Jesus Christ, most of the time people that are professionals are on their ladder moving upward. They don't want to touch anything like that. They want to fit in. And anyway, merchandised. "Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." What Peter's saying here is, he's saying people that are being merchandised by the false teachers and the things that are just off a little tick, this isn't going to end. It's going to get worse. But understand what? Their judgment is not going to be let loose. It's going to continue, and they're going to face it. It doesn't slumber. It doesn't sleep. So be very careful today what you allow yourself to be exploited by. Be very careful. Understand the ways of man and the things of man are never going to be worth. They can't even be compared to the things of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 So Peter goes on here in verse 4, and he gives some further comparisons here. He says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell," that's actually the word Tartarus there. By the way, many of the angels that fell, if not all, are chained today. Now, we know there are demons that are active, but God has seen these spirit beings so dangerous that he does not even allow them to come into our contact. Aren't you thankful for that today? God, he knows what's going on here, folks. "And he delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." We've talked about that through this section as we've talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. And now Peter gives these two cities here as an illustration. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them," and here's my favorite King James Version word, "ensamples, a living example of how God deals with these forces of wickedness in his judgment unto those that after should live ungodly." See, folks, we've been warned. If you sat through this morning and seen this text, you've been warned of what's coming. God has not allowed you to blindly fall into these areas of desolation and destruction. But if you fail to take heed, folks, You have no one to blame but yourself. God doesn't want this for us. We'll see that as well in a further passage this morning. But Peter goes on to illustrate in verse 7, and this is the key text how we know that Lot was still a saved man. He was a righteous man, but he was living in a backslidden condition. That could be the case for one or more of us here today. But God delivered him. His grace and mercy prevailed. You heard that account last week, and delivered just Lot, even though he was vexed, it says here, with the filthy conversation or lifestyle of the wicked. Lot was a backslider to the nth degree. You saw it last week. God had to drag him, literally, out of the city. He was that far gone. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with her unlawful deeds. I'm just going to say this to all of us this morning, and you know I always preach myself first. Be very careful, because we're a lot more like Lot than what we want to admit. You think about it, folks, for any of you that have been on this planet 30 or 40 or 50 or more years, you know yourself that some of the things we probably all do today, 50 years ago, would have made people's jaw drop. You agree with me on that? I'm glad my parents are in eternity. They would have never been able to accept the living and the sin and the garbage that's going on, folks. Things are not okay. Maybe God's trying to drag someone out of the fire today. I hope that we respond. Because that's what happened a lot. You see, when you put yourself into the garbage dump, you become garbage. That's why, from this pulpit, I'm always going to teach separation from the world and separation unto God. Are we all going to accomplish it? Sadly, no, without God's help. But folks, we cannot live, like I said, in the dump and not turn into garbage. But notice this in verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God will deliver you. Didn't we sing that? No, we didn't sing that this morning. We sang He is able. But there's also a hymn that says, He is able to deliver thee, that's based on this verse. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. All right, verse 10. But chiefly, he's talking here now about these false prophets, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. By the way, I was going to stop at 9. You should have stopped me there. But you can go on and read that. It's the spirit of the age. But there's one of God's main warnings. Now I'll go over to 2 Peter 3, one chapter over. 2 Peter 3. And we're going to look at 1 through 18. Again, this is talking about, I believe, the days that we live in today. They're the latter days. We're moving toward the end. There's every evidence that that is the case. And here's what Peter writes in this case. He says, this second epistle or letter, that's what epistle means, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter was always a dynamic guy. And even in his writings, he was there to stir things. We need to be stirred today, folks. There needs to be a movement among born-again believers to get on fire for Jesus Christ. I don't know what's wrong today. I can't pinpoint it exactly. I think a lot of people are afraid. I think, again, we're lukewarm. I can't tell you all the emotions. But I'll tell you what. This kind of stuff, when Peter preaches, gets me fired up. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not afraid of what lies ahead. And I really, really know this, that it's very likely many of us will be taken out for preaching the truth. It's happened before. It can happen again, and it will. But Peter said, I want to stir you up, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He's saying both Old Testament and New Testament. Lonnie, you had it this morning. Jeremiah, what chapter was that? Ten. You want to talk about someone that went through rough stuff, you look at Jeremiah and all the things that happened to that man when he stood for the Lord. No, he was not. This stuff's been going on ever since the fall of man. A few righteous have been trying to tell people and to warn them. That's the point of this second little point here. God's warnings that judgment is coming again. Well, notice here in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. What's a scoffer? It could be a bully. A mocker. A mocker. You know what, folks? Today I've never heard so much mocking of the Lord in a public way in our nation today. For one thing, I hear God's name a lot. You know, I've mentioned this before. It's a warning. God's lifted me out of that, but he's still lifting me out of other sins. But I'll tell you, folks, when we take God's name in vain, that's a serious thing. And people flippantly say, oh my God, or, you know, they're mocking God in everything they do. He says in the last days, they'll be walking after their own lusts, for their own good, for their own value. And saying this, I've heard this from a lot of people, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know what? There's a lot of people believe that very thing today. They don't believe in creation, but they're saying there's nothing changed. And in some ways, they're right. Because sin, you know, there's no new sins. Have you ever thought about that? Solomon said it. There's nothing new under the sun. That all the stuff that we see may be new to us as we devolve, if you want to use that term, into Satan's realm. But there's nothing new. And they say, well, what's changed? Now, if there's anyone in here that's over 30 years old, you know some things have changed in our world. And if you're older than that, you know a lot of things have changed in our world. Because people have mocked God. By the way, if God isn't important and if God doesn't exist, why do all the people work so hard to try to make him irrelevant? You answer that question. Because he exists. And his ways exist. And his ways are righteous. And every human being has a conscience that's implanted into them from God. No, that does not mean they're born-again believers. But they know right from wrong. And Satan will cause them to resist. To resist the Lord, to mock him. No, you've been preaching this stuff. I've heard this so many times. The Lord's going to... I'm not telling you the Lord's going to return today or tomorrow. And that the end times program are going to begin. But I'm telling you, they are going to... At some point in his timing, he didn't tell me the exact date. Or you. We all have the same ability to glean that, but he told us the season. See? And you can discern that because things are changing. Seasons change. Just like my little thing in there. We're in high summer. In case you didn't know it, about 4 or 5 weeks. One morning we're going to wake up, maybe, and go... Scrape frost. But Peter says it in verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. You see, God doesn't always work exactly as he worked in the past. But we know that he's worked in the past. He may not do it just the same, but he's worked in the past. For this they willingly are ignorant of. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water. He's talking about creation here. Whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished By the way, that word overflowed in the Greek is the word katakaluzo, where we get the word cataclysm. A major force of God that had an impact on this earth. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Folks, in case you didn't know it, this world we currently live in is one day going to be, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, scorched with fire. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and the remnants of this old broken planet are going to be burned. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be a new heavens and a new earth. And again, we'll get to that here in a minute. But the fact of the matter is, the next impending thing that God's going to bring down the line in a total judgment is going to be when all things are put in their place and the results of this old sin-cursed earth are going to be destroyed by fire. By the way, if you're an unbeliever today, you face the danger of eternal fire in hell. Eternal destruction. It'll be an eternal reminder of God. Go to Luke 16. The rich man in Hades is looking out. He can see heaven. And for every day of his eternal life in hell, he's going to be thinking what? I could have been over there in Abraham's bosom. It isn't just the fire and the pain and the suffering of hell, but it's going to be regret. Because you're going to see in the case of the rich man, Lazarus, that lived for the Lord. And what did the rich man do? He mocked him. See, he mocked God's ways. Well, now he's getting it himself. And he'd do anything, wouldn't he, for what? One drop of water. For I am tormented in this flame. Peter goes on to write here in verse 8, he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. I like Peter and Paul both because they both say, don't be ignorant. Ignorant means uninformed. In other words, anything today that we don't know about, we could know about. Right? I'm going to say this again, and I'm guilty of this too. Take your devices. And if you're not going to use things there that are going to edify you in the Lord, there's a good reason to say what? No more. Because our ignorance gets us into trouble, folks. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now you're probably going to say, John's going to talk about the day-age theory. I'm not. I don't believe that's what it means. But I think what Peter's talking about here is the destruction of God is multiplied. And when this thing comes upon the earth, a few short days are going to be the equivalent of 1,000 years in people's thinking of the destruction that God's going to bring upon this earth. You can think about that a little bit. But here's the thing, folks, and the part of the warning that we need to heed today. Verse 9, the Lord is not what? What's it mean to be slack? Yeah, not on the game. By the way, is anyone sad about the Cubs?
No.
Not on the top of your... Why would they get rid of Rizzo? Anyway, enough said about that. Slack. In other words, God is not fooling around. He's not debating yet within himself, shall I do this or shall I not? But it says here, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Again, a reminder, God does not operate in our timing. He operates in his. But, and we've heard this through these messages, he is what? Long-suffering. To usward, toward us is what that means. Not willing that any should perish. There's that word. You go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, or unique Son, the God-man, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Perish means to die eternally. It's a picture of hell. Living death. Wrap your heads around that one. Boy, what a thing. That's God's will. That people would not perish, but they would what? That they turn around. See, God is benevolent toward us, just like He was to Sodom and Gomorrah. But the people refused. Peter goes on, he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. By the way, it will not come as a thief in the night to those that are prepared for it. We've been prepared. You've heard enough this morning in my faulty preaching to know that judgment's coming and that you better what? You better reconcile where you're at on things. Know where you stand. It will not come as a... God's operations of the end time will not come as a thief in the night. I believe it's imminent. Can happen, begin any time. That's what the Bible teaches. See? But people that are not aware, it will come. It'll be there and they won't know it until it's too late. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's what's going to happen in this day of the Lord. This period of time is God sets things straight. Judgment. And then Peter says this. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or lifestyle and godliness? See, Peter's talking now to the believers. And he's giving us a warning. He's saying, understanding of what's coming, it's time we get our act together too. Now, this is almost 2,000 years ago that Peter preached this. I think the Christian community today doesn't have its act together. What do you think? I think at best, for the most part, we're coasting. And in many cases, people have just said, well, they've said just what we read. Yeah, there's more grace and mercy coming. I don't need it. I'm saved, but how could you be like that, though, to know that there's other people that don't know Christ and take it so lightly? Even the gathering of the church. I've always said that. You know, maybe there's a reason. It's not what you get there, it's what you can get. And I'm not talking money, but what can you give to others that you've been through in your life? Folks, church is important. Our community of fellowship is important. There'll come a day, I predict, we're gonna want to be together. And of course, Peter says, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, looking for it, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Well, we're out of time this morning. I really would like to finish this. Would you give me one more week? There's a lot to be said here about what's coming, because point three that we're going to end on is this, and it's a positive point. And it's God's encouragement to His people in the days of decline. God's encouragement to His people in the days of decline. It's going to be based on 1 Peter 4, and then we're going to be done with this message series. But folks, I'm encouraged despite all that's going on today. The Lord Jesus wants us to endure. He wants us to continue on walking with Him. He wants to see people saved. He wants to see people growing in Christ. He wants to see His church not go into destruction, but to stand firm for Him. At least a few of His people to come out and be bold for Him in these days that we live in. He's going to encourage us and show us how we can operate. And I'll tell you what, folks, I need that encouragement in my life today. Because I believe, you know, I can share with you. By the way, some of you are asking, what are those cars parked in our lot? Don't worry about those cars. There's some cars that park here, but you know what? My goal is to catch them sometime and tell them thanks for stopping in. But I told Kim when we pulled, she said, look at those cars. I said, well, maybe they're here for church. Well, that'd be a trick around here too, someone early. Come on, folks. We can do it. We need to see this part. We need to see this parking lot. I'm not a juggler. Filled with cars. Amen. People that are not afraid to stand for Jesus. We need to see people that are going to say, you know, I'm going to forsake all this garbage that's going on in the world. I'm not going to worry about the Cubs and Rizzo and, you know, their record and all. You know what I'm saying. We need to get concerned about Jesus and people. God's mercy and grace have prevailed a long time. And they may prevail yet for a long time. Actually, we're remnants of that that'll pass into eternity. We have no reason to go to heaven. It's only by His grace and mercy. But for how long, we don't know. But the point is, how low can things go? They can go a lot lower yet than they are today. And individually, they can go lower too, in your life and mine. There's not one of us here today that's not immune from backsliding away from God. There's not one of us that can't wake up on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday you might wake up on a Wednesday evening or a Sunday afternoon and say, you know what, I don't need it today. And maybe legitimately, you can say, you know, my walk with God is good. But how can you say that your presence might not have helped someone else along the way? We're one step away from backsliding like Lot. There's days I could walk out the doors here at this church too and say, I'm never coming back. For various reasons. But so far, God has said, keep going back. I haven't said what? Give it up. By the way, you show me in Scripture where God ever told any of His people to give it up. You won't find it. And He's not going to. Folks, I love you. Sorry today, maybe things weren't the best for preaching. But the Word of God speaks for itself. It speaks for itself. Judgment is coming. The stones of judgment may grind slow, but they continue to grind. You've heard that saying before. God's program will be right on time. How will we be in the part of the program that He has for us? I urge you today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, to receive Him today, to place your faith and trust in Him, acknowledge you're a sinner, and call upon His name to save you. But I also encourage us as believers here today to get our house in order. Because quite frankly, and I've admitted these things to you, I see these propensities within myself, just like with Lot. And if you could come clean on that, you'd agree with me. We've slipped a lot further than what we maybe know. If we really do the inventory. Thank you, Doug and Kay, for the song. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Well, enough said. Let's stand and let's see. 559. What this song is saying here basically is this, is let Jesus come in and have rule over my life, over my heart. This is a song today that can apply to the unbeliever or the believer alike today, that we need to let Jesus have control. Because, folks, that's what He wants. He wants first place with us. If the Spirit's speaking to your heart today, move toward Jesus. He never wants you to move away from Him, folks. He wants you to come closer. And the Bible says if we'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. He's waiting today. He has a time frame set out for every one of our lives. He wants us to be engaged with Him so that we can have peace. That we can have peace with the days that He gives us, no matter how all this comes about and when it comes about. Do you have that peace today? You can have it today if you let Jesus rule in your heart. Let's sing the first stanza. Come forward if you'd like, but get it right with God. I'm here. Glad to help you. And I know there's others that are as well. If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart.
If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart.
This is a great day, August 1st, to get things set straight with Jesus. Dean, would you close, please? Thank you.
Spread your word to those that need it. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless this church and the people here, and you'll bring us again.